Hallelujah. Ready for the word. Acts 3, you know, one of the emphases we are having in this conference is that God's answer is in men. When we pray. So I must learn how to receive. You know, there was something I had to correct about my life as well. And that was something I had to do. Now, in growing up as a believer, because of the kind of background I had, you know, we had a very strong culture of consecration, which means that you dedicate yourself, you make commitments to the Lord. At some point, you know, I said I wasn't going to take money for the work of ministry, which is fine. I still have the same culture. So I grew up not wanting honorariums. And then it now moved from consecration to subtle pride, where you don't know how to receive. So, you know, you can get to that point where, and it goes also in ministry, because people talk about you a lot, hey, man of God, you know, your understanding of the move of the Spirit, your understanding of the Word of God, then you will not know how to get from others. So I got to a point, I grew up in the ministry, because I'm brought up that way, too. If there's a need, you want to meet it quickly. You want to be the one to meet the need. So you do your best. But you see, you can slide into a culture where you might think you actually don't need people as much as they need you. It's pride. You are dust. If you don't accept that early, one day you will. You're dust. You're a man. Paul said there's nothing different between me and you except the grace of God. So I have to change that attitude. And it can move from, I don't want to take offerings, I don't want to take honorarium, to I don't want to take. And that's not a good thing. Jesus demonstrated for us how we should be. He gave and he took. He received. Receiving shows you are human. I told you, what the church does, the local assembly, it does two major things for us. I remember I first taught you down church and local church some 12 years ago, and I said, it, number one, destroys selfishness. Where you're always thinking about yourself. Selfishness. You want to be on your own. You know, someone told me, said, well, I like a church where the seating arrangement is comfortable. There's nothing wrong in that, but what he was saying was, he wanted a place where it's like his bedroom. This is not your bedroom, this is God's bedroom. No, that's selfishness. The second thing it takes is pride, so that others can minister to you. Selfishness, because now you serve others. Others can now minister to you. You know, there are believers that except it's the pastor, they can't receive. That is a horrible attitude. It's a terrible attitude. Except it's the pastor, they can't receive. No, that's not right. We said here, times of refreshing comes with the people of God. So you must know how to receive. So today, I mean this morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, I'll be focusing on that. There's some things that some of us have changed unusually. Before you went for a special program, we call something special program, because it doesn't happen every week. Right? I know certain meetings I go for that give direction to our ministry. I go there for that purpose. I can pray on my own, but I go there. And I listen. In fact, there was a time like that, I was texting the leaders, this is what God is telling us, here. Remember? Remember, guys? Do you remember the meeting I'm talking about? Can you remember what I'm talking about? I was texting them that this is what we're going to be doing. This is what we're sensing to do. I was texting them. Why was I saying that? Because I was there. And there are meetings like that I go for. That's the reason. And if you like, go out fast and pray. God won't tell you anything. Nothing. You will have to go there. The moment you've discovered it. And some of us, not you, we treasure things when we have lost them. We treasure things. You treasure your parents when they are gone. That's not good. That's not good. You treasure people after they are gone. And you see some men of God, when they're gone, some people start saying nice, nice things. There was a man who went, and I'm saying this, who went with the Lord just this year. I didn't know him so much. But people started writing good things. I said, but he had birthdays now. Why didn't you say all of this? What you have said here is for us to appreciate him and receive him. You are saying it after he's gone. No, now. Some people will stop coming for some programs. They will now say, in those days, we used to. I don't have that kind of life. We used to pray for long. Man, those days. How old are you? Are you ancient of these? Those days. And you know, there's a move of the Holy Ghost like this. What's happening now? I still have some of those things. Yeah. Not you, because you are here. Hallelujah. That's obvious backsliding. You don't know how to receive. When you go for meetings, how can you come for a meeting like this and you're watching Netflix? You're not serious. No. You gotta know what you're doing. We go for meetings, we fast days ahead of time. Days ahead. It's not a face, it's how to receive. The way you grow is the way you grow. It's how to receive. After services, as a younger Christian, I'm sure you go back home to read the notes, right? To read them, to meditate upon them. And sometimes we'll gather ourselves and share what God taught us in the meeting, right? That's Christian culture. That's how to receive. Some guys will go on social media, what a great camp meeting. It's because they want people to just see it. But during the meeting, there was a guy like that who came for one of our conferences, World Changers Conference. He came towards the end. You know what I mean by towards the end? You know what I mean by towards the end. There is the beginning, the reshit. There's the reshit. Right? He came at the time we're entering Deuteronomy. So when he came, I was surprised. He came late. Then he went on Facebook and said, what a meeting. A 7-day meeting you attended for 2 days. Because that's how people live. They live for the crowds. They live for fame. To say things to people who say, yeah. But what did you do with the meeting? Did you pray? Did you fast afterwards? Did you write what God wanted you to do on Monday? On Sunday? Because what some people do when they come for special meetings, the next day they just go and take siesta, long siesta. And say, we were so blessed. Let me just go and rest. That's like a poem. So blessed, let me go and rest. How would you be blessed? The next thing is to sleep. That's not a blessing. The next thing you want to sleep. We're so blessed. I need a holiday after that great camp meeting. Were they stressing you? No. There are things to be done. Dr. Miles Monroe said this years ago. He said, God doesn't make you feel good. He gives you a mandate. I learned that. As soon as a revival meeting in 1992, my friend Tunji Ogbonle gave me the tape, 1992. And he said, when you leave a meeting, how you know you are blessed is there's a mandate upon your life. A mandate upon your life. Now I'm going to say this one. You know, reaching the world, I'm saying this not to pastors, to all of us here who are not pastors yet. Reaching the world, the way God wants to reach the world, is by planting local churches. A local church doesn't have to be an event center. A local church can be a cell group, a house fellowship. That is how God wants the world to be reached. Now, if I'm in a local church, and I'm there for years, and they're yet to commit anything like that to me, there's a problem. There's a problem. It means I'm not available. I'm unavailable. I don't know what that song means. How can you say I'm unavailable? To who? You know, I'm unavailable. God now uses a Muslim instead of you. You have what you say. You see, why are you not there? Local churches. The planting of local churches is the most effective way of reaching the world. Thank God for crusades. Oh, big ones. We love them. 1 million people are saved. Yep. And we're going to have more. But much more effective is the planting of local churches in the nations. Local churches do not have to be in this place. Acts 5:42 says in houses, homes, small groups. And please, when they start, don't let us know by the pictures you post. Amen? When quiet, let's know by the work that is being done. The result of the work of ministry is not pictures. They are the men and women who are built and trained. So hear this. And I believe in my heart, something I'm going to say, I was going to say it on the pulpit there, that in the teaching gifts, we focus a lot on the information that we disseminate, and we have stifled the work of God's Spirit. The teaching gift is a training gift. It's an impartational gift. So that when I'm teaching, I'm training men to teach too. And I believe God that in this conference, it's happening in our lives. The teaching gift reproduces disciples. So the teaching gift is a training gift. Make disciples of all nations. Matthew 28:19. Teaching them to observe all things we have commanded to do and within to your age. So as we teach, we're training. So hear this now. You are not just graced by God to explain. You are also graced by God to impart the capacity to do the same. The capacity. So as you are teaching, there's capacity. Capacity is being increased. So the teaching gift is not just about putting out information and explaining as that's going on. And I want you to be doing this when you are praying for your services. Lord, I pray for those under my watch who are going to listen to the teaching today, that they will understand. They will have the capacity to know what is being taught. Yeah. And they will be able to teach others. Make sure you pray that way. Okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? So get back to what I'm saying. So if you're a member of a church, right? You are God's man to plant another one. You must make yourself available. You must make yourself available for it. When you leave this convention, you are on a mission. You are on a mission. A mission to plant. To plant. A mission to establish and pioneer. And impartations are going on for that cause. In the name of Jesus. You are. So the teaching gift is not just to give information. It also trains the hearers. Okay? Now, if you're a member of the local church, you are there not just to receive information. You are there to receive a mandate. A mandate. Or to renew the mandate. So in this conference, we're learning that. So we said, times of refreshing. Acts 3:19 to 21. Times of refreshing. And we've said, that refreshing means to re-energize. We checked a couple of scriptures yesterday. Philemon 7, Philemon 20, 2 Timothy 1, 15 through to 17. The house of Onesimus first. A bit of what we're going to explore now in the afternoon. And we said, Peter was preaching about the Sabbath, which we said yesterday is a time of reset. Now, in meetings like this, I may not have all the time to get into all the details that I want to. Somebody asked me a question that I thought the image of God was said, well, there are teachings you can listen to on that. And where all that was explained, and many of our books too. And you see, I know you need to hear this anyway. The books have the role they play, different from the audio materials. The books are written deliberately to make you able to teach. They are written that way. That's why we remove many things from it. So that what you have before you many times is a sermon note. Something you can critique when you are reading. And I expect you, for example, those pastors who are relating with me, close to me, I expect you to ask questions. When you have an area that's dark, say, this side, I was thinking that way, I was thinking that way. Because that is what they are for. To challenge your thinking. To give you materials to study as you preach. Okay? So, listen now. We said, there is a reset in the Sabbath. The reset in the Sabbath is that all are the same. So, when you hear words like all flesh, that's Sabbath. I pour out of my spirit, Joel 2:28, upon all flesh, that is Sabbath. Okay? When you hear male and female, that is Sabbath. Honor your father and mother. Exodus 20, that should be verse 12, that is Sabbath. Father and mother. Father and mother. That's Sabbath. Shall a man leave father and mother? That's Sabbath. Where there's an equality, neither bond nor free, that is Sabbath. And Sabbath is God's way of resetting everything. And God keeps resetting it till he gets it done. So we said that. It's his way of resetting things. Now, in Genesis chapter 2, before then, now in Genesis chapter 2 verse 19 to 21, we showed something yesterday. That male and female. Now, why was male and female used? Because only male and female distinction in humanity was done by God. Every other one was done by men. Slave and free is done by men. Okay? Nations and ethnic groups is done by men. The only nation God created was Israel, and it was for a purpose. Okay? So, when it says male and female, we saw yesterday that by taking from the side, the word rib is side, is not for marriage. And I showed you that the way the word bana used for the woman, Genesis 2:21 and 22. Make the woman is used to construct a city. Most importantly, a building. But the writers of the Old Testament, particularly in the first five books, used it for building the tabernacle. Or call it the sacred place, the place of altar, the place of worship. So one thing that's clear is that you and I are a side. We make up God's house. One singular person cannot make up God's house. God's house and home is a corporate function. I'll take that again. God's house is a corporate function. So it becomes very funny to say, I am God's Garden of Eden. You are not God's Garden of Eden. That's wrong understanding. We make up the house of God. We said that. In Genesis 1, 26 to 28, male and female together, the image of God. And that is what the Sabbath represents. We are the same. So we are the same. So yesterday, we answered five questions. Those five questions are this. Who am I? Now, who am I? Let me have you talk. Who am I? Who am I? The image of God. If the earth is God's temple, and he made man his image, I said the word image is idol, a physical representation of a supernatural being. Who am I? I am God's image. Whose am I? I belong to God. I belong to God. What am I called to do? Now, because I'm his image, whatever he wants to do in the earth, which is to deal with the chaos of Genesis 1-2, the uninhabitable earth, Genesis 1-2, he now uses his image. Genesis 1:28. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, have dominion. So who am I? I'm God's image. Whose am I? I belong to him. What am I called to do? I'm called to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish the earth and have dominion. How am I going to do it? Genesis 2:15. In the house of God, in the home of God, in the sacred place of God, which is the church today, I'm to be a priest in that house. I'm to serve. Genesis 2:15. I serve as a priest to dress and to keep. So let's take it again. Who am I? Whose am I? What am I called to do? To be fruitful, to multiply, replenish, have dominion. How am I going to do it? By service. That's straightforward service. But I have a problem now. Genesis 2:7. But I'm dust. I'm frail. How can I serve others when I'm frail? I'm mortal. Frail. I don't even know what's happening behind this stage. How can I function effectively when I'm limited in understanding? I'm limited by space and time. Remember we said, dust is not because man sinned. Said, from dust you came. From dust you will, to dust you return. So God made man, right, to die. But he doesn't have to die. He has a choice not to. If man could live forever, he won't give him the tree of life. So we have frailty as the nature of man. And to know that it's not by sin, when Jesus came, he came also a little lower than angels. Same way. And Paul says the first man was made earthy. It's not because he sinned. No. No. So, frail, how do I do it? Genesis 2:18. It's not good. That's the first time in the whole Bible you read it is not good. Now, good means proper. This is not effective for man to be alone. who make an help meet. Now, there's an argument on that. Is the help meet the woman? We have said no. The help meet is God. God is the help meet. God is the one who is our assistant. And that's why we take the word comforter. The word comforter, parakletos, the same comforter. John 14, 16 to 17. And David said, the Lord is my helper. He didn't say, my wife is my helper. Hallelujah. Nobody called their wife their helper. Nobody. He's our helper. Hallelujah. Sinach says, you are the fire in me. You are the power at work in me. Hallelujah. He's a fire in me. He's a power at work in me. So God made man that way. So receiving the Holy Ghost is when you became truly human. When you received the Holy Ghost, then you became truly human. Now the question is that, if man is the image of God, who said when there was a fall, he still called the image of God. But is he functioning that way? No. Image is not what you do. Image is who you are. Having dominion, multiplying is what you do. It's how you now function. And how can that happen? By the help of the Spirit. We said, God made us insufficient. So I'm frail. How do I fulfill it? He gave me his help. He gave me his help. So in this earth, the image of God is man. The image of God is man. Look no further to God's answers. When we pray for our nation, when we pray for our cities, our towns, villages, our campuses, our churches, and we talk about the move of God, the move of God is how he stirs men in his purpose and plan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So man is God's image. Now, don't forget, we're talking about the temple, the house of God. The temple. And yesterday, we said God made us. I think it was Brother Hagin who said this. I'm not sure where this quote came from, but I heard it from him. He said, the body of Christ, we in the body of Christ, we members in the body of Christ, we are deficient by default. That is, by default, I don't have everything. By default, I'm not complete. He said, but we are only sufficient by association. So others complete you. Others complete you. That's why, even as a preacher, as a pastor, the people that come into the church you pastor, they are there to help. They're there to help. You need them. You do. So, we come to that. You, therefore, will know that God made you insufficient. But say, I have the Holy Ghost. I have the fullness of God. I have the Holy Ghost. I know. That is why he gave men to raise you up. I have the Holy Ghost. I know God by myself. How? Look at the Bible in your hands. 66. None was written by God. None. If you know the word written by God, let me have it in his language. He gave to men. Men just like you, yes. But he gave them his help. He gave them his Spirit. So by default, you are insufficient, deficient. Only sufficient by association. So, any teaching that makes you feel you have all, is wrong. Nobody does. Nobody does. I remember Brother Hagin was talking about measures of the anointing. And we didn't like that word. I don't use that word too, but, you know, he was talking about the fact that, look, it's when the body of Christ comes together that we have the fullness. Now, some things, if you don't learn them by listening, you will see it by experience. It's just what it is. We're only sufficient by association. That is who we are by default. So I gave you the illustration. How God split mankind into two people. He could have made it just one single person. So you know he wants you to depend on people. He puts what you need in someone else. You need to, for example, when it comes to marriage, for example, you need to ask out. Sometimes even say God told you what he never told you. You need to dress neatly. Oh, I told you one time, said you used to write poems in those days. What happened? In those days now. Are you not in the house already? Now we are on one accord. She said you are not serious. You know, you do everything. You behave like a gentle boy. Your in-laws do not know that you're bologbo. Good morning. Good morning, sir. Good morning. You even see the maid. Good morning, ma. You behave yourself. Because you have a mission. You behave yourself. You even hide some things. Imagine hiding that you're a Chelsea fan. That is double dust. Hallelujah. Let me leave that for now. I'll come back to you later. You know, you do everything. You honor, respect. In God, make sure that you will need something from people. Now, I didn't say that everybody's got to marry. That's what I'm saying. But that is a window for us to see. Because if you see, the greatest thing, I tell people, the greatest thing God has done is to give us the capacity to reproduce human beings. That's so powerful. And that capacity, it made sure it's shared. You have someone say, well, they are gay. I'm gay. I'm gay. I can see it. They're gay. I'm gay. I believe. There's a guy who say, I believe I'm a girl. Now say, I believe I'm a man. Okay. It's bad enough what you have said. They will now won't have children. They will now go and meet the proper person. Pay that person money. Why didn't you produce by yourself? You can't. Just like life. So God split the reality into two. No matter how you try, that's what he has done. The same way he has split humanity into persons. So you will need somebody to get to fulfill what God has you, or what will have you to do. When God wanted to deal with the earth, he found Noah, or Noah found in both ways, Genesis 6 and 8. Man is the image of God. Listen to what I'm about to say now. Man, as long as it's man, is the image of God. Reinhard Bonnke told a story of when he was somewhere, I think, United Kingdom. Then he saw a billboard of a man called George Jeffreys, a man known for world evangelism. But at that point, George Jeffreys had stopped the work of ministry. People didn't know about him anymore. They didn't know anything about him. He probably felt, you know, his time was gone. So Reinhard Bonnke said, as he saw him, is that the man, George Jeffreys? Wow. So he went into the house. The man was alone. He wasn't having meetings. Nobody was inviting him. And he laid hands on him. He said that was when that ministry of the evangelist upon his life began. That's interesting. The man was frail. Nobody was inviting him anymore. You know, sometimes we undervalue man because we have our parameters. You know, in the Bible, Isaac was totally frail and blind. But God was talking to him. Jacob, same thing. They had to move his hand. That means he was frail. But God was using him. So sometimes you say, what? This person doesn't look like... No, doesn't have to look like anything. If it's human, that's the vessel. We must learn not to have our own parameters. When we have that, we lose out. Because man is God's image. What kind of man? Any kind of man is God's image. Any kind of man is God's image. Sometimes I look at some people, they say that they want to reach a generation. And then you are old though, you now go and do some tint your hair and be doing some putting some, what's that for? They know you are not their age. Why would you need to even dress like people to reach them? Who taught you that? You don't need to do that. Jesus did not look like anybody to reach anybody. Who are you even reaching? You reach past Pastor Adeboye. Who are you reaching? Just say you forgot your whole life. I want to enjoy small. In the name of the gospel. Man, anyhow, God will use. He has no parameters. None. I was in the office of a man. The man couldn't see, as we say in the natural. And I was talking to him, so he told me to do some things, and we're talking. Then he said, I should pick a pen and write down what he wanted me to, the address of where he wanted me to go. So I picked the pen. He said, no, that one is not working. Eh? I knew he felt my scare. He felt because I was, I took the other one. And I started writing, I looked at the man. If I go and write rubbish. Hallelujah. What's your parameter for who God uses? Man. Just man. You know, I thought that when God was going to speak to Paul, Saul of Tarsus, because of the mission he had for Saul, he would bring somebody from the, among the 12. It was just Ananias. Hallelujah. You would have thought you would say, Peter, I have called Paul. Oh, John. Ananias. A certain disciple. Of course, well respected. So, man is God's method. I would love to say this, but not strongly too, that man is also the devil's method. Okay? But because I wasn't sent by the devil, so he can do that himself. You know, and you could see that. All of the people God has sent, we normally mistake, we have mistakes. Ishmael was mocking Isaac. But Isaac was chosen to save Ishmael. Joseph's brothers wanted to kill the man that will preserve them. Envy can destroy us. Do you know God chose Abel to save a minister to Cain? Why is he the one God using? I don't think he's, you know, why don't say that? God gave it to him for me. That's how to be a Christian. God gave it to him for my sake. That ministry gift is for me. The moment you are not the one chosen, align yourself with God and begin to receive from the one that is chosen. You have to be smart. If you're not the one he's using. I know some people, and I'm going to say this to our Christocentric sound doctrine brethren. Sorry I've been talking like that. Eh? We are one. There's just something about it that anytime you see anyone who is being followed, who is being listened to, you want to critique the person. It's an evil spirit. You want to find out what's the big deal. It's strife and envy. You now begin to look for dotting the I's and crossing the T's. You know, it shouldn't have said Jesus is Lord. That word there is curious. Should have said Jesus is Adonai. That's not really correct, you know. It's something about sound Bible interpretation. It's beef that is not missing. But now you are reading your Bible and you are studying and you are seeing somebody. That you are just reading the Bible and say, they say that the grace of God is, I'll find something that to counter it now. Study to show your enemy disapproved. Anytime people are popular, I've been looking at them. What's this? What's the big deal? They now say, it's not about worship. It's not about singing. And you sing, beef. Some beef. Big beef. With cow head. Why not say, it's for me. Hallelujah. That's a better attitude. It's for me. Just like someone being annoyed that his wife is pregnant. Why is he the one carrying the baby? Why am I the one carrying the baby? Though I don't think we desire that though. We've never desired it. It will be the cross for all ages. Why would you be that way? Why would you think, you are not the one leading the worship today, he's the one. Why is pastor choosing him to lead the worship? Then they say, lift your hand. Sorry. Who are you doing? Who do you think that, if they say raise your hand and do like this? Who is affected? Let me know who is really affected. Is it God? No, you are the one that his hand cannot go up. Hallelujah. They say, well, the person taking the sermon today is sister so and so. I remember someone came to me. We chose someone to hold, that was 17 years ago, I think, or 16. And we chose someone to head one of our fellowships. The person came to me. They had been having a meeting. And saying things like, why did pastor choose that person? I came to this ministry before that person. I don't know. Did you come before me? Lord. And they were arguing. I didn't hear about it, but later on, you know, I don't even know how you belong to a group like that. I've never belonged to a useless group before. A useless group. You know, some groups are useless. What are you doing there? Sometimes when people tell me, I say, what were you even doing there? How did they bring you into that kind of association? How did they think you qualified? And then they were saying, I said, pastor. The person talking, you know, God born again in just under my nose. Said, pastor. Mention the person, pastor. You don't think so. I mean, I just said it in my own way. I don't say things like that again because people will misunderstand it. I said, I only pity you. I hope God will be able to use you. And I think they must have seen what I said. Who gave you the right to question who is chosen? Who? Where did you get it from? Who gave you the right to question who led the prayer? Why not say, that prayer meeting is for me? God put what you need. Paul says in vessels of clay. We have this treasure in mortal vessels. He says, so that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So we were created as vessels of grace. We will never qualify. When you look at the Holy Ghost in us and who we are, cross is like this. It's like this. so that you will know how to give thanks to God. God living in you. You should be grateful and be thankful all of the time. So, watch this now. We are made to depend on people. I said the brothers of Joseph, imagine, they didn't see that years and years ahead, God was going to use the same person they hated to save them from death. I want you to pray in 1 minute. May I not use the flesh to stop the work of God in my life. Just pray wherever you are. There will be no envy, strife, bitterness in my heart towards God's people, God's servants. I position myself walking in love. I position myself in an unselfish way. Pray for yourself. Hallelujah. His brothers, he was sent to help them in future. They wanted to kill him. Maybe it's possible that we are destroyed people that God has sent to us because it didn't come the way we wanted it. You know, they hated him. Moses was first rejected by the same people he was sent to. And that happens to us. I talk about Moses in the afternoon. And we have those things, the parameters. So we often say in Yoruba that something that is in your shokoto, your trousers or your pocket, you are going to shokoto to look for it. Because of strife, envy. Things are always under, just like around you. You think it's far off because strife. John said, hatred blinds people. You won't see it. When you walk in that kind of attitude, when God is doing something, you will not know. You won't see it. It blinds. It can happen in the family. It can happen in the church. You will not just see it. When you are in offenses, you will see what God is doing. So, listen, if I know that God uses men, you know God chose Jacob to also bless Esau. In you shall all the families, that includes Esau's descendants. Same as Joseph. Same as Isaac. Whoever God is using is because of you. Just say, it's for me. It's mine. I receive it in the name of Jesus. That is how impartations happen when we place honor on what God has honored. When we place honor on what God has honored. Look at Romans chapter 12. Are you here? Romans chapter 1, sorry. And verse 11. Romans 1. And verse 11. Someone said to me, well, this is what person said, well, I would have been going to that church, but it's far. And apart from that, I'm not too comfortable in that place. I will just stay online and watch. That is a disguised dishonor. It looks like it's good. I think I'll be listening to the person online. No. He's disguised. In Romans 1, 11, I'll start from 10. Let's take it together. Romans 1, verse 10. Let's go. Making requests. I'll wait for you. Come on, let's go. Let's start from verse 9. Are you here? Are you here? So let's go. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit, in the gospel of his son, that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my... Now, look at what the prayer is. Paul is praying. Now, look at verse 10. Making requests. If by any means now or then, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. Oh, hallelujah. He's not praying for the eyes of the sense to be enlightened though. I'm praying so that I can get to your church. I'm praying so that I can get to the meeting. Why? Look at verse 11. Let's go to verse 11. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that you may be what? Look at verse 12. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Hallelujah. Paul is praying that a meeting should take place. We should be praying. Rather than praying for, let's have insight. Let's have the move of God. What about praying for meetings? Meetings with God's vessels. God's men. I'm praying. My request is that I see you. I see you. I know it's a distance. I know the economic challenges. I know the issues in the nation. But I'm praying that that meeting should take place. In the name of Jesus, I pray that that conference should happen. In the name of Jesus, I pray that that seminar should happen. That's what he's saying. I long to see you. Watch that. He has just written the letter. This letter is arguably, so some say Galatians, but I think it's Romans, is Paul's most intelligent piece. In a letter that carries so much information, he's saying there's more to write. There's more to sending you a teaching. I need to come. I need to be there. This is why it becomes very odd for people to think, as long as I can get the teaching, I don't need to be in the service. Oh boy, you are wrong, go. Paul said, I will see you. That means there's something his physical presence can do only. I long to see you. Look at 2 John. 2 John. This was not because he couldn't write. Of course, he could write. 2 John. Are you in church? Are you in church? Watch this now. Verse 11. For he that beats in God's speed is a breaker of evil. Let's take verse 12 together. Let's go, verse 12. Many things to write unto you, but I will not write with paper and ink. I trust to come to you. Hallelujah. Let's finish it together. And speak face to face, that our joy may be full. Lift your hands. Say, Lord, I treasure the meetings with God's people. Say, I honor meetings with God's people. He said, face to face. Hallelujah. The interesting thing is that he wrote it in a letter that carries the word of God. So if you are really reading the word of God, you will be in church. Face to face. I long to see you. Face to face. Face to face. Paul says, and Paul told us, so that I may impart to you a word we're going to look at in the afternoon. It means to make what I have available for you. It can't happen by writing. No! It can happen by books! It happens in a physical place. And sometimes, those who are able to make it will bring it to you. I remember years back, I went for this conference at Rema Chapel. It was a meeting of intercessors at the Yen Corey Lauren. I think it was 1994. And we were so drenched in the spirit of prayer. So drenched in the spirit of prayer. We prayed for, I think, 3 days. Yeah. So I went back to Ikorodu then, where I was pastoring. So I just, the brethren were waiting for me. You know, you knew I was going. So they're waiting for me. No. We had a meeting that day. So I came in. It was about 5 o'clock at Oriwu College. So when I got there, I began to share with them what I learned. Just began to talk. In less than 15 minutes, that meeting reproduced itself. And we prayed till almost 11. We had to leave the school premises. People prayed. What happened was, that physical touch, I brought it to others. It was only transmitted again by physical touch. That's why it happens to us. Have you seen that before? After leaving a meeting like this, those that didn't come, have you seen that happen to you? Let me see. Yeah, come on. You've seen that. They will get a hold of it from you. Face to face. Face to face. Church is face to face. Impartation is face to face. The move of the Spirit is face to face. That I might impart to you some spiritual gift. Look at 3 John. Are you here? 3 John. Look at 13 and 14. Let's go. I have many things to write, but I will not with ink and paper, or pen, sorry, write unto you. Look at 14. But I trust I shall shortly see you, and we shall speak face to face. There are things that paper and pen and ink cannot do. There are things the internet cannot do. Many things. They only happen when we come together. A meeting. When Jesus rose from the dead, he came physically. He said, go tell them to meet with me. I mean, he had told them about the Holy Spirit. He said, no, whatever. They could have received the Holy Spirit with him, without him coming around. But he had to see them face to face. And not for one day. In case you think that, oh, just to show them I'm alive. Okay, bye-bye, guys. 40 days. He was physically with them. Impartation. Impartation is a crucial fact of our assembly. I long to see you, Paul said. I long to see you. I long to be with you. I long to see you. Hallelujah. Said, I long to see that my impact to you. I long to see that my impact to you. So that means it is his physical presence. So impartation will come by the physical presence of someone. Now, what does that mean? A communication that is physically done. So impartation will come when I see God's man. We want to see. Impartation will come when I hear. When I hear. It's not until there's a laying on of hands alone. When I hear. When I'm listening. Impartation will come when I see. Don't forget. Peter, James, and John in Matthew 17, they only saw. Impartation will come when I see. Impartation will also come when I hear. When I hear. As the word of God is preached and is taught, and I'm listening, and I'm physically there. It's different from a teaching sent to you. No, they're not the same. Different from watching it online, they're not the same. There's a difference between listening to a teaching online and being physically present there. You can get the information, but not the impartation. What God is preached and taught, you can hear it. It also comes by laying on of hands or physical touch, which we'll explore too. Physical touch, when hands are laid on you. Sometimes it's the believers ministering to you. So the physical assembly of the believers produces communication, real time, that imparts our lives, where we can take from other believers and be established firmly. So I'm telling to you now that when you see believers physically present
in a place, particularly those who are filled with the Holy Ghost, there's an impartation of God's Spirit that is available unto you. Times of refreshing is available for you. Seasons of renewals is available for you. Because God's Spirit is walking through men. God's Spirit in the earth today is walking with and through men. Let's begin to pray in the Holy Ghost as we close. Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost as we close.